There are not many places on Earth where we can go and not find something that's alive, some form of living creature. All these different kinds of animals were created by God, as shown in Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. There it says, "Let the land produce living creatures." Those words are Brother David Johnson's topic on this Words of Life program. We are supported by prayers and contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. The sermon for today is part of a Words of Life series on the first part of the book of Genesis. We now honor our Lord with singing.
Immortal love, forever full, forever flowing free. Forever share, forever whole, a never ebbing sea. We may not climb the steeps to bring the Lord Christ down. In vain we search the lowest deeps, for Him no depths can drown. But warm, sweet, tender, even yet a present help is He. And faith has still its Olivet, and love Galilee. Through Him the first fond prayers are said, our lips all childhood frame. The last, the whispers of our dead are burdened with His name.
Please pray with me. Lord, we know that everything is part of Your creation, and we thank You for Your wisdom that is shown in what You have made. Please use the teachings today for Your glory. Bless our listeners with Your health, peace, and salvation that are found only in Jesus. Be with all who are sharing Your word and protect them from Satan. We are told in Your word that Jesus is going to return at Your appointed time. Help us to be ready to meet Him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Using Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, Brother David Johnson will now present in sermon, "Let the land produce living creatures."
It's great to be together again as we continue in a most important series in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings. The title for the lesson is, "Let the land produce living creatures." And our primary text, our thematic text, is Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Please listen to the Word of God. "And God said, Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. One more day of creation remained before God would rest, that is, cease, finish His marvelous creation. Day 6 would be the most remarkable day of all, which will be divided into 2 lessons. This first one is regarding the land creatures as opposed to the creatures of the sea and sky created on the 5th day. On day 3 of creation, God made dry land appear. So now, on day 6, God filled, populated the land with living creatures of many and diverse kinds. This would include every kind of land-based creature, from insects and worms to elephants and giraffes. Scripture makes it clear that these creatures did not evolve slowly over billions of years from lower forms of sea or sky creatures. All were created by God instantaneously. To reveal this truth, Scripture identifies 3 categories of land-based creatures created on the 6th day. John MacArthur, a very fine commentator, writes, quote, "The threefold division, using the New International Version, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, is very simple. Modern biologists classify biological species by a hierarchy of categories called the Linnaean system. Every creature is designated by kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species. But the 3 biblical categories are not meant to give a technical taxonomy of that kind. It's a simple shorthand way of designating all land-based creatures. The Hebrew word translated in the New King James, cattle, or livestock, is a word that speaks of animals that are capable of being domesticated. Sheep, goats, and oxen would no doubt be included. In the New King James, creeping things, or creatures that move along the ground, includes reptiles, insects, and perhaps even small mammals with short legs, such as squirrels and rodents. And, in the New King James Version, beasts of the earth, or wild animals, would include all other kinds of animals. All 3 categories were made on the same day. In verse 24, God says, "Let the earth, or the land, bring forth, or produce, the living creature according to its kind." This is an interesting expression. It doesn't imply any creative forces in the earth itself, or any power in the soil or land to generate life. It certainly isn't suggesting that these life forms evolve from inanimate matter, but it reminds us that the creatures God made are composed of the very elements of the earth. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19 affirms this, saying that God formed the living creatures, quote, "out of the ground," end quote. When they die, their bodies decompose, and they go back to the earth. Even this reveals the infinite wisdom of our Creator. Notice that in verses 24 and 25, repeat the phrase, "according to its kind," 5 times. The phrase appears a total of 10 times in Genesis chapter 1, repeatedly underscoring the limitations God placed on the variation of species. The genetic code built into each life form maintains the characteristics of the various types and species. It rules out spontaneous generation, and it rules out macroevolution. Here, both Scripture and science agree against the evolutionary doctrine. As we saw with the creation of the stars, sea creatures, and birds, the variety of what God created is astonishing. It is a world filled with wonders that signify the wisdom of an all-powerful Creator. Common cattle are remarkable creatures. Their digestive system is a great wonder of creative design. Cows, in common with most ruminants, have 4 stomachs. Actually, it is probably more accurate to say that their stomach is a complex organ divided into four chambers. When a cow eats grass or hay, the partially chewed fiber passes into the cow's first stomach chamber, called the rumen. There it ferments for 1 or 2 days. The presence of helpful bacteria in the rumen causes fermentation, beginning the process of breaking down cellulose and converting it into simple sugars. This first chamber of the cow's stomach is huge, holding the equivalent of nearly 50 gallons. But when a cow drinks water, typically 25 to 50 gallons per day, most of that fluid bypasses the rumen and flows directly into the second chamber, the reticulum, where it is mixed with digestive enzymes and more fermentation bacteria. Meanwhile, peristaltic action, or muscular movement of the stomach chamber, rolls the fodder in chamber one into little balls, and the partially fermented balls are then passed into the second chamber, where they are infused with the enzyme-saturated liquid. Later, when the cow has leisure to ruminate, it will regurgitate those soggy balls of fiber from the second stomach chamber and chew them more finely before swallowing again. This is what Scripture speaks of when it designates the cow as one of those animals that chews the cud, as referred to in Leviticus chapter 11 and verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on the land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a split hoof, completely divided, and that chews the cud." A typical cow spends about 6 hours per day eating and about 8 hours per day chewing its cud. The cud, after more chewing, is swallowed again. And this time, in a near liquid state, it passes directly into the second chamber. The construction of the second chamber enables the chewed cud to be filtered. Smaller particles are permitted to pass into a third chamber. The larger particles that remain in the second chamber are regurgitated again for more chewing. The third chamber is called the omasum. There, excess liquid is reabsorbed into the cow's system, and the thoroughly chewed cud is compacted while its chemical composition is broken down even more by the digestive process. The thoroughly refined food then passes from the third chamber into the fourth, called the abomasum. This chamber works much like the stomachs of other mammals. It secretes strong acid and digestive enzymes, completing the digestive process. From there, nutrients pass into the cow's blood system, sustaining the cow and providing vital nutrients for milk production. This remarkable design enables the cow to enjoy a nutritious meal from a simple manger of hay, something that is impossible for mammals not equipped with multi-chambered stomachs capable of digesting cellulose. It is a wonderfully efficient design, converting cellulose, which we cannot digest, into edibles, milk, cream, butter, cheese, and a long list of dairy products. The average milk cow produces more than 5,000 quarts of milk each year. One cow can therefore supply milk for nearly 60 people. Cows are prodigious eaters, and one cow will also produce up to 10 tons of manure in a year, returning vital nutrients to the pasture. In some cultures, the manure is even used as an efficient fuel for cooking food. Cattle have exceptionally keen hearing and olfactory senses. A cow can smell scent up to 5 miles. Their cloven hoofs enable them to gallop long distances, even in marshy terrain. They are suited to almost every environment and thrive as well in the cold of Canada as they do in the heat of Florida. And they are as useful as they are durable. Almost every part of the cow can be used for food, including the cow's bones and hoofs, which can be boiled to extract collagen for making gelatin. The hide makes durable leather. The cow seems to have been especially designed to serve the needs of humanity. Fully domesticated and easily bred, they can live almost anywhere people can live. They can graze on a wide variety of wild plant life and therefore are relatively inexpensive to feed and maintain. They are God's gracious gift to humanity, and a living complex creature, not by evolutionary chance, but instead by an intelligent creator, God. End quote. An amazing example of the second category in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24 of the creatures that move along the ground is the ant. Again, consider the words of John MacArthur, quote, "Ants are some of the hardest workers in the animal kingdom. By most accounts, they are able to lift as much as 50 times their own weight. Ants also have proportionately larger brains than almost any other animal. They work cooperatively without any kind of supervisor, which many human beings can't do. Their short lifetime, as brief as 45 days in some species, is virtually nonstop work building their nests, foraging for food, blazing trails, removing obstacles, and otherwise maintaining those trails and carrying food for the queen back to the nest. An ant's life is no picnic, but ants are resilient. They can survive underwater, in some cases for days. They can survive being frozen, and they can withstand high temperatures. They adapt quickly to changes in the environment or climate. The wide variety of ant species is phenomenal. Nearly 10,000 different species of ants have been cataloged, and most entomologists believe there are thousands more species that have not yet been studied. The largest species of ants grow to more than an inch long. The smallest are less than a tenth of a centimeter, and yet ants probably make up more than 10% of the Earth's total biomass, meaning that ants account for more than a tenth of the world's living tissue by total volume. Experts believe that all the world's ants combined would outweigh all the humans in the world. Ants live in colonies and are incapable of survival on their own. An ant colony is itself a kind of massive organism, with each individual ant contributing to the welfare of the whole colony. There is an intricate and well-defined hierarchy in every ant colony. At the heart of the colony is the queen, a single queen in some species, multiple queens in others. The queen lays up to 2,000 or 3,000 eggs per day. Worker ants are infertile females, and they make up the largest number of ants in any colony. Male ants exist primarily to mate with the queen, and they leave the nest and die shortly after mating. If the queen dies, the entire colony will soon die. After a colony is established and ready to spawn new colonies, the queen lays special eggs that develop into males and young queens. Once they develop into adults, the young queens and males fly off together in swarms and mate in mid-flight. One mating flight supplies the queen with all the male seed she will need to fertilize every egg she will ever lay. She then flies off to plant a new colony, usually alone. In some species, however, several tiny workers cling to her legs with their powerful jaws, thus traveling with her to help plant the new colony. After this initial flight, the queen loses her wings and will never fly again. She prepares a nest and seals the entrance. In most species, she will stay in the nest for the remainder of her life until workers hatch and begin bringing her food. She lives off her own body fat, even consuming the now useless musculoculture that made her wings work. Her entire life from that point on will consist of laying eggs. Queens have a much longer lifespan than worker ants, living as long as 10 to 20 years. She thus populates her entire colony, laying hundreds of thousands of eggs in a lifetime. In order to keep up with this prodigious output, she requires massive amounts of food, all brought to her by the worker ants. Some species of ants actually raid other colonies, take other ants' pupae back to their own nest, and raise them as slaves. Amazon ants, for example, cannot survive without slaves. The shape of their mandibles does not permit them to dig their own nests or feed themselves, so they use other ant species as slaves. Other species of ants actually cultivate fungus in their nests, fertilize their subterranean gardens with leaves and other organic material, and then harvest the fungus for food. One type of fungus growers are called leaf-cutting ants. They use their sharp mandibles to cut away large leaf segments and carry them in a long single-file lines or trails back to their underground nests, where they chew the leaves and use the pulp as a medium for cultivating an edible fungus. Armies of leaf-cutting ants have been known to strip an entire fruit grove of leaves in a single night. God created ants in such an abundant variety for a host of purposes that are ultimately beneficial for the whole earth. Ants serve a vital function in the maintenance of the earth's soil, aerating and fertilizing the soil, pollinating many plants, and performing a host of other ecological housecleaning services. Ants are so vital to Earth's well-being that if all the ants on Earth died, the effect would be catastrophic. All Earth's land-based ecosystems would quickly collapse. In fact, ants and plants are so utterly dependent on each other that one could not have possibly evolved before the other. This is further proof that a mere 5 literal days have elapsed since the beginning of the creation. Had these been long eras rather than short days, the plants created on day 3 would have all perished long before the arrival of the ants on day 6. They must have been created together, as Scripture says, in the same week. And the ants are yet another vivid reminder of God's creative ingenuity and genius. When you realize the vast numbers of ants, of animals, of insects, and reptiles, and all the various creatures that creep upon the earth, it is mind-boggling to think God has such a vast creative intellect to design and make so many interconnected life forms in a single day, but He did. The final category named in Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, embraces all other land creatures in the New King James Version, the beast, the NIV, the wild animals of the earth. This no doubt would include elephants, lions, tigers, giraffes, bears, wolves, coyotes, and other large and long-legged animals that would not fit the categories of cattle or livestock or creeping things or creatures that move along the ground. The beast of the earth or the wild animals would also probably include many now extinct species of dinosaurs. What happened to the dinosaurs? God, in His providence, allowed their species to die out, probably about the time of Noah's flood. Job, possibly the earliest book in all of Scripture, seems to include a description of a sauropod dinosaur. This creature called Behemoth eats grass like an ox. Let's consider in the Old Testament, the book of Job, chapter 40, and verses 15 through 19, which says, "Look at the behemoth which I have made along with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength he has in his loins, what power in the muscles of his belly. His tail sways like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are close-knit. His bones are tubes of bronze, his limbs like rods of iron. He ranks first among the works of God, yet his maker can approach him with his sword." The dinosaurs may have perished when the earth's climate changed severely after the flood. We know that human life expectancy was severely decreased in this post-diluvian world. Before the flood, it was common for men to live 900 years or longer. After that, the human lifespan decreased notably, almost immediately. Severe environmental and atmospheric changes may explain this, and the same type of changes may also explain the extinction of all the dinosaur species. Today, elephants are the Earth's largest land species. The elephant's trunk is one of the wonders of the animal kingdom, strong enough to lift large logs, yet sensitive enough to pick up a single peanut. The elephant's trunk is the organ with which he drinks, breathes, and feeds himself. It is also his chief means of feeling objects in order to determine their size, texture, and temperature. The trunk of a typical elephant weighs 300 pounds, holds up to 4 gallons of water, and is about 7 feet long and comprises the elephant's nose and upper lip. No other animal can grip things or pick up things with its nose. Yet evolutionists believe these remarkable features developed in the elephant by sheer accident. Every beast of the earth shows evidence of special design. No wonder. All of these were created by an all-wise, an omnipotent, omniscient creator who endowed them with extraordinary features. God's vast creative wisdom may be clearly seen in all that He has made, as it says in Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20 in the New Testament. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. All the wonders of the Creator's creation bring mankind face to face, so to speak, with the glory and the grandeur of God Almighty. Originally, earth was created as a perfect paradise ready for man.
The blessings of hearing God's Word along with the preaching and teaching help us to know Jesus and the salvation that is found in Him. If you are not yet a Christian, we encourage you to make that decision today for Jesus. We are concerned about you and we love you enough to share these words. Please feel free to write to us. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, ask for broadcast 2111. That's 2111. We hope to hear from you soon and thank you for listening. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing the